Here's where it gets a little bit more complicated.
No crunches, no sit-ups.
Yeah. I need to warm up. Everything will be okay once the sun comes up.
I might not be enjoying it at this point in time, but the highs are always bigger than the lows.
I would just trial and error, simple as that.
I found it a really powerful analogy.
No. No, we'd be in that problem.
Our times don't mean anything.
And then I ran out of the aid station, having to get the ice out.
I promised that we'd go to the pub, and so I ran the last 4K.
Solid mid-pack time.
But when you start to kind of unpack all the practical nuances of that, it actually becomes a lot more challenging.
That's always the trickiest question to answer, I'll be honest.
So physically, yeah, I was pretty broken.
We're just recording into a tin cup.
This is your local neighbourhood podcast.
Hi, and welcome to Tales from the Midpack. I'm your host, Rebecca Hunt. I'll be bringing you stories from everyday runners, experts, and some race recaps. Today, we are chatting to some runners who are a little different from our usual guests. Today is a celebration of kids who run. On the show, we have Ollie, who is 15. Welcome. Connor, who is 15. And Alex, who has recently turned 8. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thank you for coming on. It's really cool. All three of them are trail runners who run for fun and get involved in running events and are part of the huge growth in kids participating in trail running that we're seeing in South Australia. I know that there's been some comments in the community about how many kids are turning out to all the TRSA events, and there seems to be a big shift of like the kids' runs now seem to really be the preschoolers, and there's a lot more kids now in the short course runs that are going on. So there's an explosion of kids. But before we start talking about your running, we're just going to get to know you slightly. When you are not running, what do you get up to? And running in school, obviously there's school, given your age, but what else do you get up to?
I play a lot of video games.
Yeah.
Not a good thing to start off with, but...
Do you do gaming, like on a computer, video games?
Yeah.
Excellent, because they tend to have the typing skills for school.
Yeah.
Whereas the people just on their phones don't have the typing skills. So there you go. It's an advantage.
Yeah. I played a lot of chess.
Yeah.
I play a lot of soccer. I really like soccer. So
okay.
I play on two teams all throughout the year.
Yeah. So does soccer kind of become your running training as well? Do they complement each other?
No. No? I think running... training helps soccer, yeah. But soccer won't help running training.
Okay. Is it too exhausting or is it just a different type?
It's different really, because with soccer there's a lot more advanced footwork involved,
yeah.
And it's short bursts of like really yeah. quick sprints that are maybe only like 20 meters.
Okay.
So
yeah,
it's not really the same.
It's like intense interval training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not... really that intense. It won't leave you exhausted unless you're in the play like 70% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Alex? You go to school. What else do you do?
When I get home at dad's house, I'd usually do a bit of farm work, and then I'd probably play on the PlayStation or iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'd get home and we'd do some stuff.
It's always different.
Reading and
reading.
Children, different stuff.
Mm-hmm. We put up fairy lights today.
Yeah.
Because it's Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah.
I also like to game quite a bit.
Yeah.
I read also a lot. Play squash in winter.
Oh,
school
cool.
team though. Not much else.
Yeah, so it's another short burst. Sprint activity, squash.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. How long have you been running and what got you into it?
I'd say I've been running for probably 3 years now.
Yeah.
My mum got me into it to start with because she was doing a lot of ultra marathon stuff and a lot of running in general. And I kind of tagged along and she... So it's mostly self-motivated now because she doesn't do a lot anymore because she's been battling a lot of long-term injuries.
Yeah.
So she's not really doing much at the moment. She's trying to get back into it.
Yeah, yeah.
She's been out for a very long time. So it's been mostly self-motivated like now.
Yeah. So you are a runner now.
Yeah.
You're not just accompanying your mum. It's you're in your own right. Yeah. How about you, Alex?
I'd say I've been running for a while, I think, around maybe 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm. That would be about right.
And my mum got me into running by running lots, and we did run club, and I got motivated by that, watching lots of adults run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just pulled up if you want to see. I know this is not fair to listeners, but do you want to come and see? I found this photo today of you 4 years ago running. Do you want to see it?
Sure.
Want to see how little you are? So you're 4 years old. Yeah, come around. I can't move the computer.
I might change my outside. I've only been running for like 4 years.
Oh, you're it's four, not three?
Yeah, yep. It's probably more.
Have a look. Look at you, dude. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
Yep. How about you, Connor?
Maybe 3.5 to 4 years, but okay. I stopped in between because it was getting boring.
Oh, yeah.
And then I started after my camp recently again, and that's when it got serious for me.
Yeah.
My mum helped me get into it. We did our first ever parkrun together, a mountain biker parkrun.
Yeah. So what do you think made the difference between it seeming boring and something you're actually into?
I don't know. I lost motivation. And I just enjoy races a lot more than going out for my training runs, which is why I don't do them nearly enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you, basically your races become training runs if you go in enough of them. Yeah. And park runs, you kind of treat that kind of a race feel.
More sprint stuff.
Mm. Yeah. So all three of you have mums who run, and most of you did start running with your mum, like for safety. And Alex, of course, you still run with your mum. But you two are free now. Now, you all said that you kind of got into it through other people, and your mums have played a big role in that. So what was it that your parents did that got you, that helped influence you to start running?
Well, I don't know. I kind of just tagged along because mum was doing it, so I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
To be like her, I guess.
Yeah.
That my mum did a lot of races as well, so I'd be support, like a lot of really long races, so like 100Ks, stuff like that. So I'd be part of her support crew with dad and my younger brother. I thought to myself it would be really cool if I was in one of these instead of being the support crew.
Yeah.
And maybe mum could be the support crew for once. But then there was also the fact that I thought it would just be really interesting because what I'd do is at a lot of the checkpoints I'd run out to meet her and then run back with her for a while.
Yeah. Which gave you a feeling of, hey, I'm doing this. Just for a little taste of it.
Yeah, it was really awesome.
Oh, good. How about you, Alex? What did your parents do that helped you want to run?
Like, got me doing run club and did lots of long runs and training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I emphasized a lot how delicious the brownies are at the end of TRSA events and said you can't have one unless you do an event. They're just for runners.
That's a big reason why I run too.
We'll run for brownies? Yep. I think that covers everybody.
I think everybody runs for the brownies.
Particularly the peanut butter ones. They're my favorite. How about you, Connor?
Well, because I had the break in between, I've completely forgotten why I went on the parkrun. I think I just was like, why not?
And
went from there.
Yeah, why not? Sounds good. Now, at some point, you've all seen your mum suffering. So going, your parents motivated you. But when they're going through, like your mum's going through injury rehab, so is your mum as well. And you've seen them when they're dirty and they're bleeding and they're limping and sore and recovering. Didn't that put you off? Like, as a child, when you're watching your parent go through things like that, how'd you feel?
I'm going to be honest, I've never really thought about it if
no?
it was in like my position. I have felt like kind of sorry for her because of the injuries or like upset that she can't continue or something in some of the longer runs where she's had to pull out or come really close to pulling out.
Yeah.
I have recently thought about her recent foot injury because she's had a foot injury for upwards of a year now, and I'm kind of experiencing some of the same symptoms whenever I overtrain or have a really hard couple of weeks or I'm not warming up properly or something. So I kind of got to dial it back just to make sure that doesn't happen to me.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of just doing preemptive,
like prehab is what they call it, like work to protect yourself and warm up properly. And are there other people in your life who inspire you?
Probably not really. I do have I do have groups that I run with.
Yeah.
So I do training with a lot of people, and there are some people in the races that I go to who I know really well. So there's always like that, oh, I need to beat them factor
to
try and like push each other. I wouldn't say like there's anybody that I really look up to other than Mum.
Yeah. Do you two have a bit of competitiveness going?
Oh, we don't run together. We've got different.
Don't run together. Different.
He's more sprints, I'm more long distance.
Okay, yeah. How about you, Alex? Do you look up to anyone?
I watch lots of the people at Run Club running.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone in particular?
Not really.
Not really? You're just being in the big group?
Mainly go to Run Club.
Okay. The regulars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably when I helped crew Beth for the 200 miler on Irrational, that some of those runners there showed good grit and keeping going, and that kind of inspired me a bit. That was actually mainly why I started running again. I thought, I can run a bit longer distance than what I normally do.
Because you got to watch people a lot at aid stations.
Yeah.
And see quite late on in the event.
And because
what they were pushing through
of the community, like you all saw the same runners generally, the same crew
at each station.
It was a good atmosphere.
Yeah, that's really inspiring. Were there any defining moments where you've, had that moment when you realized that you can do more than you thought you actually could? You've actually been inspired by yourself as you've got run for a while.
Yeah, there have been. So, kind of started run sprints. I don't run sprints, so shorter distance, but not sprints.
It's a matter of perspective, isn't it?
So, when I got a 5K PB maybe 6 months ago, I got a 19:13 time, which it's not outstanding, but it's not. But it was something.
Yeah, we're making matter of perspective faces again.
it's not like an outstanding time, but it was something that I was very proud of, and that kind of motivated me to try to get a better time. Unfortunately, 2 weeks later, I got COVID and I dropped off. But that did motivate me a lot, and also, there's a lot of like younger kids in my group, so I've got to stay ahead of them, like in the group that I run with. And there's like a lot of things that I'm trying to like get into. So, Oakbank Cross Country Championship is like the ticket to the national cross country level, which both years that I've gone to, I've come off injury or sickness, so I haven't really had a good shot at them. So I'm like training really hard to try to get to the next one and get into nationals.
How long you got before that comes up?
Next year. So I didn't miss this year's, but I did really poorly in it because I'd just come off of sickness. And funnily enough, 2 or 3 weeks beforehand, I'd ran the fastest 4K I'd ever ran. I think I got a 14:30 for 4K, which is the distance of the Oak Bank. And then for Oak Bank, I got 16:15.
Yeah.
So I did really poorly on that. So that kind of motivated me to be like, right, I'm going to get in the next one.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in. So that's kind of pushing me to keep going.
Excellent. So that's your carrot and your training at the moment you're heading towards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. How about you, Alex? Have you had a moment where you felt really proud of yourself and you thought, I can do this?
Once I was doing a 11K run with Dad, and I didn't feel that sore at all, and I'd run pretty far by then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you were impressed with yourself?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Probably on my first proper half marathon, I was surprised that I could do it. But at that point, I didn't think that I could go further because my feet were so sore because I was stomping quite a bit, and also my shoes were really hard on shoes as well. But I've improved on that, and recently that's helped me go, well, I can actually go further than I thought.
Yeah. And Alex, I was remembering a Rogaine last year. It was walking, not running. But do you remember how long you did that day?
Yeah. And it was really steep.
How far did you go? 18 kilometres.
And super steep.
Yeah, with super steep. And you were so proud of yourself.
And exhausted.
Yes, and exhausted. So obviously you're not just runners, you're trail runners. What is it that you like about trail running? So you do road stuff like as well, but you get out there and do some trail running events. Why is that? Because it's harder. Trail running is more exhausting. You know, you've got the trip hazards, you've got snakes. There's so many reasons that people go, oh, don't want to do that. But you do get out there and do it. So what do you like about it?
So you're right about there's like a lot more dangers and it's probably harder. But I like it a lot more because of the solidarity. Like I don't really like to be in a big group of people. So when you have stuff like City to Bay or other long road races.
Or sardines in a can, as I call it.
It is filled to the brim with people. Like there are people everywhere and it's just really claustrophobic and in your face.
Yep.
So trail running's just a nice way to kind of calm down, just keep going instead of having to worry about other people.
Yeah, gotcha. How about you, buddy?
It's harder. And you get brownies.
You get brownies. I have a little quote from the Devil's Nose event. Do you remember what you said?
No.
No? Because I wrote it down the time. Because you said, this is great. And I asked you, what's making it great? And you said, running and the trees and the flowers and being in this place.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
And we also saw the actual Devil's Nose there.
Yeah, you got to see the big rock sculpture when you got all the way to the top. Yeah. Cool. How about you?
What was the question?
What do you like about trail running?
There's not nearly as much pressure to keep running. Like, if you see a hill, generally it's good because you get to walk up it instead of run. And I don't like running into things. Like, in road races, it's a lot more about if you walk, you're kind of weak.
Yeah.
And, of course, you don't have the same friendly atmosphere in trail runners as you do with road runners. Like, generally, as far as I'm aware, with road runners, it's a lot like you don't want to be too friendly to other people because you're kind of competing against them. But in trail running, it's a lot more, friendly.
Supportive. They might be the person applying a bandage on you. So you want to be friendly. What does trail running give you that you don't get from daily life, like in your other sports?
The fitness component is really good. Like, I can stay very active and fit and not kind of sitting down, so it's very good for just general fitness. It's good for mental stuff as well, because it kind of makes you feel better after you finish it.
Awesome.
It's like, I just did that, so
that sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
How about you, buddy?
What was the question?
What do you get from trail running that you don't get from other things in your life?
Brownies?
True, I never make brownies.
Getting a lot stronger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seeing national parks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
That's always fun. Yeah.
The outdoors and the fresh air component. Also, I get a lot more fitter from it as opposed to some of my other sports. And I enjoy the satisfaction after completing a run, at least, especially in races. Because, like, for some reason, I just find that more satisfying than, say, winning a squash game. Or it's just more fun.
Yeah. And something that we're about to get soon in trail running that's very different from other sports is Blackberry Feast. I think I've seen you've had that, and we've certainly had that. I don't know if you've had that, but you're just out in the middle of your sport and there's blackberries because you're in Blair National Park or somewhere like that. Have you ever had that?
I don't train a lot on trail, so yeah. I mostly train on roads or something. So I'd mostly do my races on trail though.
Mm.
So I don't really stop to...
you don't stop.
I don't stop to get the blackberries because I try to go for placings on some of the races. So there's not really time to stop. But I have, on the runs when I was doing training in Balea maybe like a year ago, I would stop like a lot and eat them, and they were very, very good.
They are so good. I don't know, it's just silly things like that. Like, still always get excited when I see a koala out there. And all those things. Are there any groups you run with? Obviously, you've mentioned yours a lot, Alex. And do they impact your motivation to run? So, like, you've mentioned park runs, kind of, but, like, what's the motivation there at a park run?
Well, I mean, quite a bit of it is setting a goal. Like, as we're going up the big hill, there's this person a little bit in front of me or just a bit behind me. I'm trying to stay ahead of them. And my dad's got this... I think he's a physio named Lincoln, and he runs Cleveland Park Run as well. And lately, he's just beaten me and beaten my PB because I've been off doing other events and not sprints. So I'm trying to get back and beat him again. And he's a good motivation. That's why I got my PB last time.
Yeah. But you were talking about, so some of the events, like more road events, are really crowded. So is Park Run like a less crowded version of that?
Sometimes. If I go to Mount Barker Park Run, it's extremely crowded.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to... I don't like it at all. It's like... Apparently, I've changed the course, but...
Yeah.
I prefer... Because I'm a trail runner, I prefer stuff with a bit more elevation, and Cleveland Park Run fits that, because Mount Barker's completely flat.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't like crowds either. It's too hard to overtake or know when to start in the right position.
Yeah.
And also run with the course. Thursday night running with Nick down at...
Oh, yeah.
Uni Loop. There's only a few people there, but that helps.
Yeah. Alex, you've got your Balea Run Club.
Yeah.
You say you get inspired by seeing them. But how do they do that? How does seeing people run motivate you?
Like, thinking that I could do that as well.
Yeah. Sometimes there's homemade biscuits at the end too from a certain person.
And fudge.
Oh, yeah, and they've homemade fudge. That's made it. So... people having little treats at the end and dinner nights. Things to look forward to at the end of the run. They help you get motivated. Yeah. So do you have clubs that you run with?
I do have clubs.
Yeah.
So I run with a group. So for my training, I run with a group. I've forgotten the name of the group, which is pretty cool. But I think it's like Academic Centre of Excellence or something. Don't know. It's run by a person called David Fryer.
Okay.
So he's a professional coach. I think he might have done some really high up coaching once upon a time. But So I run with the group there. I also do park run a lot, and there's a lot of regulars there that I've met and know. So I've made a lot of friends through there that I run with.
That's motivating because you know those people are going to be there. You get to see them, get to see their progress.
Get to talk to them, get to try and race each other.
Does running make other big adventures in your life possible? Are there things that non-running related that you've done that you felt confident to do because of your running?
Yes, actually. Mm-hmm. So recently I went on a school camp that was 5 weeks called Wombana.
5 weeks?
Mm. 5 weeks.
Wow.
There was a lot of...
Did you go it too?
Yeah, same time.
Okay, yeah.
So there's a lot of fitness component stuff that was there. And at the end of it all, there was an 11K run, which was like a lot of people were dreading it. They were kind of scared of it because, 11K is scary because they hadn't done it before. But I found that really, I was looking forward to it almost. Yeah. So there's that feeling of like not being scared to do harder stuff. So you're kind of like more accustomed to going further or, and that's
just enduring.
And that doesn't just apply in running. It can be in other sports or in academics or something where you're like just trying to get through it, I guess.
You got that resilience within you.
Resilience.
And probably also as a trail runner, just even camping, a lot of people would have just been scared at the prospect of camping.
Yeah.
More outdoorsy.
I do a lot of camping as well.
Yeah.
So
that you wouldn't have had that fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Alex? Are there any big things that you were able to do outside of running? We mentioned the Aomerta Station Rogaine you did last year.
Yep, and also bike riding.
Yep.
Pretty good at that.
Yep. And then a few weeks ago you did the Mambray Creek camping trip.
Yeah.
And how far did you hike? One of those days. 20k? Did a 20k hike? Yeah.
And it didn't take us too long. The weather was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was raining the whole day, but you didn't mind at all.
And we saw a million trillion tadpoles.
We did.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
And two frogs.
Yeah. But I had a lot of people ask me, how did the kids cope? Wasn't there a lot of whinging? And I was like, nope. You were looking forward to it, and you did great.
And also, near the end when there was like a really big puddle when we were leaving, they were like, oh, let's see how this person does it, and then we just walked straight through.
Oh, you're talking about our toughness on the last day?
Yeah.
We had to walk through all the creeks. Big wet shoes. But no problem at all.
Yep.
Yep, you feel strong on the inside. Yep, awesome.
Forgotten the question again.
So is there something in your life that you were able to do because of what you've built up in running, but it wasn't running related?
Of course, meet the running community, which has helped.
Has it given you more confidence to just talk to strangers and get to know people?
Oh, no, just more friends.
More friends, yeah.
And
you went on that same camp? Did you have the same seeing other people freak out where you were completely fine?
And they weren't freaking out, but I'd done longer than that before. I wasn't that worried.
Yeah, yeah.
I was more of trying to go as fast as I could. For me, though, I was trying to get below an hour, but I got an hour and 36 seconds. Yeah. And I know I could have cracked it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, after all that fitness, I caught COVID straight after, so I lost most of it. I had to work it back, but it sucked because it could have been much better than I am right now if I hadn't got COVID.
Yeah, you haven't had it yet, have you, Alex? No. COVID. What? COVID, you haven't got COVID.
No, not yet.
All right, so the only one at this table who's escaped this year. All the rest of us have not.
I've had it twice, so I've made up for it.
Oh.
Yeah, and I had laryngitis, I think, last week. So.
Okay.
What's laryngitis?
Where you, I find it hard to talk. Your voice sounds really weird. You're coughing lots of stuff up out of your throat. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Like, what sort of stuff?
Booger and all. Coughing a lot.
Yeah.
And it's hard to talk.
Yeah. It is. You kind of lose your voice.
That before a run.
No, you don't.
I haven't run since then.
No. Once. So, what are some events that you've done this year? So Connor, we're going to build up to some of your bigger ones a bit later. But What are some of the smaller things you've been getting into?
Medium to long course of TRSA events and ATR events.
Yep.
Like the Melrose Mount Remarkable one.
Yep.
Which, again, testament to my balance, I managed to sprint down Mount Remarkable without slipping over because it's all very, it's not a solid path. It's lots and lots of slippery rocks.
Yeah.
And I wasn't happy with my time. So I tried to sprint down and somehow I didn't slip and I got in just under 2 hours.
Nice. Yeah. But that was kind of, was that the face where the rocks were sliding with you a little bit? Or was that a different part?
No, I mean, there are a few of those where we crossed over those, but there's a lot, like, it may have once been an actual path. There are lots of loose stones on top of it and you had to try and run without slipping over on them and stabbing yourself.
Yeah. You've done a few TRSA events as well, medium course, I think. And have they been fun? Because you should know the winter, so there's a lot of mud and rain.
Yeah, some of them have been other times. Well, I did the Winter Teams Championship with a guy who's funny. He's, because the group you enter in, you're registered under the youngest age of the group. And of course, dude I went with, Steve, he was like, he's 40 or 50, I think. So he, and we were the only one in our group at all.
Yeah.
So he was very happy to get his under 15 medal, I think.
That's great.
And, but anyway, we were going through a creek and we were trying to get a crossing and some people came past us and they were short course runners. We were doing the long one.
Mm.
And obviously we were in a hurry, so they kind of shoved past us and he took a dump in the river.
Yeah. That's no good.
Yeah, so not the biggest fan of winter stuff. I'm glad to have been, glad to have avoided falling rivers myself. It's happened, almost happened a few times.
Yeah, getting wet in winter is pretty miserable.
I took a dump, you mean fell over, right?
Yeah. Yes. It took me a split second to.
We knew what you meant. I was between dump and dunk, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah. So did you go on some events this year?
So the TRSA winter, I don't know if it's TRSA or ATR anymore, but the summer and winter series, I go in all the time.
Yeah.
And I've been doing the medium course for those ones. I've been getting like consistent top 10 placings recently, which I'm actually super stoked about.
Yeah.
And finally all that training paid off.
Yeah. Well, there are quite a few under 15s going in, so...
Yeah, I moved out of the under 15 category this year, so I'm in the under 15 category anymore. But I'm not really concerned about the age category.
So. Yeah, I'd suddenly, you are 15. This is me being an English teacher. Under 15 is under 15.
Yeah.
So, but still, there's been so, like I said at the beginning, so many more young people getting involved in.
And the park run as well has been recently like filled up with kids, and it's really annoying because they are very, very fast.
You're under threat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somehow there's one dude who's like maybe 10 years old or 12, no, maybe around 10. First time that I'd seen him at Cleveland Park Run, because I'm a regular there, and he almost beat me, which is, would have been very embarrassing.
Hear that, Alex? Little kids growing, getting faster. Coming up behind. What have you been in this year? Done some events?
Yeah. You come with me on one of them, the 10K.
That's the Devil's Nose?
Yeah.
Yep. And we did Sturt Gorge as well.
Yep.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah. I think that was a 5.
Yeah, that was about 6K.
And there was an aid station.
Yeah, you love it when there's an aid station. Get some lollies.
Yeah.
Yes.
And at the end, run.
Do you remember how you ran differently at Sturt Gorge? Do you remember what you did? At the beginning? We said, don't go fast. And what happened when you didn't run out super fast like lots of the other kids your age?
I had plenty of energy at the end and I sprinted a lot.
Yeah, you did. You had lots of energy at the end. You ran the whole way and you overtook a lot of the people who sprinted out from the beginning.
Yeah.
So you were learning to pace yourself, which was very cool.
And I beat like 1, 2 or 3 adults.
Yeah.
So do you find that when you're witnessing all these kids coming out to park run and stuff, do you see them kind of run out and burn a little bit when they're first out there and young?
I see them run out and keep going.
Run out and keep going.
I can't catch him.
Yeah, I've noticed like a lot of kids over parkrun that go out too hard, and I am victim to it myself. I've gotten better recently, but I used to run out really hard a lot. It is kind of satisfying overtaking them though, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, just gotta make sure that you're putting in enough effort, or so that you have plenty of energy for the end, or well, not plenty of energy because then you're not going hard enough, but enough energy to last till the end at the same pace.
Yes.
And that'll get you the fastest time.
And that takes a lot of patience and maturity.
Discipline. Yeah,
yeah, it does. Yeah. So it's very impressive that you can do that. Now, Connor, you've done some pretty big events this year. So you built up, you spoke about Melrose, which you, so we're kind of going month by month here. You did July at Melrose, which was 15K. And then Federation Ultra was August, which was 27.
Yes.
Yep, got that right. That's quite a flat one. What was that one like?
Well, I wasn't admiring much because I was too wrapped up with my foot pain.
Mm.
I was still stomping and still wearing my hard shoes.
Yeah.
So it was pretty flat, but I was still sore but a lot by the end of it.
Yeah. So not a fun one, that one.
Well, I would do it again because I want to see what it's like without, like with my new technique and all.
Yeah, and I assume you've got different shoes now as well.
Yes.
Yes. and then you beat that by 1K in October where you did Heisen. Mm. Still suffering feet pain because your Strava comment was feet, ellipsis, pain, ellipsis, skull.
Yes.
Longest run. Yeah.
And yeah.
didn't know how you kept going.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. So that's a really tough experience for you to push through. Again, we talk about, you know, patience and being able to pace yourself. It takes a lot of maturity, but, you know, you're in that area of trying to work out what can I push through? What's toughness and resilience?
Yeah.
And then also what's also looking after myself and making sure I don't injure myself. And that takes a lot of maturity as well. Yeah. So working through that, how do you go with the mental game of that?
With races, it's a lot easier. I just think I've got to get to the end. But it's training runs where I struggle. I have no real motivation. That's why every run I go into, I'm under-trained. Put the pedal on my ass there.
So the finish line is something that really pulls you,
mm-hmm.
that sense of completion.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you'd be a bit hard on yourself if you didn't finish, if you didn't cross the line.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
Whereas on a training run, there's no one watching, there's no finish line.
Yeah, like I went on a training run on the weekend, I was meant to go for an hour, but it was hot on Sunday morning.
Yes, it was.
So I turned around early and did 10 minutes less 9:10 of it, it was fine because it was getting hotter.
Yeah, yeah. So you did the, and then you went and did the Hysterical Carnage Backyard Ultra in November, and you thought Sunday's run was hot. That was hot. And you did a marathon in that heat. So tell us about that experience, because that's pretty epic.
I finished the lap. I got back into the seat. My mum put an ice towel around my face, and I just sat there. Getting as cold as I could before I went out. Like, I had a water bottle full of ice when I went out, and about 15 minutes in, it was all melted.
Yeah.
Really wasn't fun, but it was hard, and really hard mentally. So really the only thing that forced me to keep going was the thought of getting that marathon. By the around fourth lap, I was really struggling.
Mm.
And I was considering pulling out the fifth one, but I just got to undo it again.
Because you'd prearranged a cutoff point. Like,
you
weren't there to be do it until you couldn't do it anymore.
Yes.
You know,
Nick said a cutoff of 50 kilometres, and I wasn't even thinking that.
Yeah. So, Nick being your coach?
Yes.
Well, your mum's coach.
Yes.
Who can give you a little bit of support and advice. Yeah. And obviously, your mum has an eagle eye on you, checking your health, checking how you're going. And so, you went in it with a... I won't go beyond this.
Yep.
Yep.
And that's
to keep it safe and healthy.
Generally, that's not the right mindset for that format, but it worked for me.
Yeah. For adults, yes.
Right. I mean, probably got the wrong approach, but I like that format. It was fun. Yeah. I feel like I can go further.
Yeah, well, you got to do something you've never done before and get that sense of achievement and pride.
And while it was hard mentally, I also found it easier, the idea of going and not knowing how far you would go, as opposed to thinking, I'm going to start this race and I got to run 42 kilometres. That's a lot.
Yeah.
The idea of that in context is a lot more.
And it's a lot of pressure as well.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, you could just pull out whenever you needed to.
Yeah.
So it took the pressure off.
Yeah, so there's no, like, actual proper finish line.
Which is interesting, because you struggle with that in training runs.
Yeah.
But you didn't struggle with that in this format.
Because it's still a race.
Yeah, okay.
But the course itself kind of sucked, because you did this kind of out, up the big stairs, then through this grassy meadow, and I got hay fever, and sun was beating down, there was no shade on the entire course. We ran a bit longer, we kind of did a loop. We came to a bit just before we did an out and back where we could see the finish line in sight. We had to do another 3 or so Ks out and back, and the back of it was uphill. Again, no shade.
Yeah.
It really sucked. It was really tempting to forget the out and back and just go down the hill and back to the finish line.
Yeah. Oh, sounds really tough. We talked a bit about in that answer about looking after yourself, and obviously, especially you two, you feel like grown-ups really already. But you are kids and you are still growing physically. So obviously you've got to look after yourselves. You've got to watch. You've mentioned already, Ollie, that you've got to make sure you don't overtrain. And when you do, you feel the consequences. So what are some of the things that you do to look after yourself in this running process? Like, you've got goals and you try hard and all that stuff, but how do you kind of rein it a little and look after yourself?
So I feel like warm-up is a very, very, very important part of running to, like, prevent injuries. When I did my half marathon, I came off that because I didn't do any warm-up for that, because I'm just like, I just want to run this to see if I can do it.
Yeah.
And I was stiff for probably a week after that.
Ouch.
And I had foot pains as well from running, and it could have very easily been prevented if I had done warm up and stretch, like, the bottom of my feet and stuff to minimize my risk of injury, and I probably would have been a lot better off doing that and would have been able to spend the recovery time doing more training.
Yes. Yeah. So warm up everything. How about you, Alex? When you go out for big runs, how do you look after yourself?
Make sure I don't eat too much at once and drink enough.
Because you've had, you get stitches sometimes.
Yeah.
You're still learning. And when you are going on these runs, are you following adults or are you setting your own pace?
Own pace.
Own pace. So you do what you want to do.
What's comfortable for me, so that bodies doesn't injure itself going too fast, or if I go too slow, it might just feel a bit weird.
Yeah. And you walk when you need to?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Connor? We've mentioned a couple of things already, but
I don't really take care of myself that much out on there. Everything I do is just in pre-planning. As for warm-up, I never do that, so I should probably do that.
But I know that your parent keeps a really good eye on you as well.
Mum helps me quite a bit with my nutrition planning, but I'm getting the hang of it now.
Yeah.
I could probably do a plan myself if I need to. Like, I was meant to have a plan for hysterical, but I just grabbed what I felt like and that worked fine.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how, but some people ate too much and had stomach problems up there.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's something you're getting better at. And you're just starting, Alex. Yeah, yeah. Do you have... When you go out on a trail running course, like I mentioned before, it can be really tough about running. Oh, there's snakes. Oh, I might trip over. Do you worry about the same things? Do kids worry about the same things, or do you have different worries in your heads when you're out there?
No, I think we have very different worries, because I often find when I'm running down hills that I'll overtake adults left, right and centre, because they're really scared of running down the hill in case they trip.
Connor's nodding. Adults are too chicken. They worry too much.
Like, why use energy to stop yourself going faster?
No, so yeah. I think there is kind of a difference in mindset there, because I'll just try to run it as fast as I can and not really be that concerned or not think about what happens if I trip over,
yeah.
Which probably isn't a good idea, but I haven't tripped over yet, so.
So that's working for you, and you said you haven't tripped.
No, apart from minor scrapes and all that.
Something to be said for confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it might be due to different like levels of stability and stuff and differences there.
Yeah. How about you, Alex? What do you worry about anything when you're running?
No.
No?
Probably when I'm a bit older, maybe not finishing.
Yeah. So it's just adults who do all the worrying. Leave it to the adults.
Worry about not getting brownies.
They worry about enough for on your behalf. Yeah. Oh, if the brownies run out, are there going to be enough brownies left at the end? That's your worry.
To get the brownies.
And my next question was about, do you pull up well from events, or do they have a big impact on you? And you were like, you pull up well, Ollie, when you've warmed up properly. And you, is there anything else about how you pull up from events?
I feel like hydration while you're out on the course is also extremely important, because it can be the difference from pulling up feeling fine to pulling up feeling like you're about to throw up if you don't drink enough water. So you kind of got to take care of yourself on the course, and if something's hurting, then it's probably better to just stop. Because I've had races where I've had injuries on course and I'm like, oh, it's only another so many Ks, I reckon I can push through this.
Yeah.
And maybe wasn't the best idea. So
yeah.
I feel like on a lot of races, you need to just take care of yourself to make sure that you're like pulling up okay and better for the next one.
Yeah.
Instead of just trying to finish this one and then worry about the next one later. So
yeah.
Kind of got to make sure that you're, you know, taking care of yourself on course to make sure that you have the best result at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, buddy?
What was the question?
How do you pull up from events? How do you feel in your body?
I feel all right.
Yeah.
Body feels a bit relieved.
A bit relieved. Now, when you did some sprinting the other day, last week you had sports day.
Yeah.
Oh, was that 2 weeks ago? You then had big cramps during the night. Do you remember that? So it's like your body is trained for long distance running now, but it doesn't pull up so well from sprinting at the moment. Yeah, because you don't get to practice that as much.
We should probably practice sprinting and running.
Did you like sprinting?
Yeah.
Has it felt fun?
And also the car race.
Yes. Oh, do you want me to say it? Okay. So the car race, there were 16 kids and they just went round and round and round and round a loop. So there was no winner or finish line. So I think it was kind of just me keeping track. And you started 12th and I watched you just going around and around and slowly overtaking everyone. And then the kids at the front who were super fast started to flag. And then you slowly overtook third place and second place, and you went back and forth with first place. But then they didn't have the energy to keep going, so your endurance paid off. It was really impressive.
My best friend at Belair is probably the one that I was going back and forth
with. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You tried super hard, but then you got big cramps that night.
Yeah.
So that was interesting because you don't get them from your longer runs. Yeah. Do you tend to pull up well, Connor?
Yeah, as I referenced before, I had big feet problems, but after Heisen, I had a serious chat about it with my mum and thought about Nick. I thought about stuff I could do to change it, and I would change, got new shoes, started training lighter, and now I pull up fine. Like after my marathon, for some reason, I pulled up a lot better than I did after Federation and Heisen.
Yeah.
It was only like, because I had to finish my run, and then of course I had to stay up crewing that night and walking around a bit, so I was fine after.
Well, that probably helped too.
Yeah.
Not stopping and just sitting, just keeping the body moving. Adult runners, we get a lot of, oh, you're going to wreck your knees, like people who don't run when they hear the runs that we do. you know, there's a lot of, you know, fear on our behalves that we're hurting ourselves. I'm wondering if as kids you get that too, maybe more so, or I don't know.
Not really. I mean, as a growing body, you need to make sure that you're not overdoing it, mm-hmm. or you'll come out with serious chronic pains.
Yes. Yeah.
But as long as you're not going past that point where you're actually starting to do damage, it will get, like, you won't do as much damage as you grow older.
Yeah.
But if you're overtraining as a really young person, then you can do some serious damage, yes. to yourself. So it is important to make sure that you're not overtraining and you're just keeping within your limits.
Yeah. It sounds like, you know, you've got, your mum's a runner, you're at running clubs, you've got this coach, you're surrounded by a lot of people who know and understand running.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't really get that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that know what they're doing. That,
yeah.
So it's better to listen to them than people who are kind of naive and think, oh, you're gonna hurt yourself. Don't go that far or something.
So you value the opinions of people who have the knowledge and expertise in the area.
Yes.
Yes, and kind of politely move on from.
I'll always listen to advice.
Yeah.
And I'll think about it myself. If it seems ridiculous, then kind of discard it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, and if it's good advice, kind of take it in, but also take in more what your coach says than what other people say.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, buddy? Alex, do you get people who worry about your running, or do you find people to be very supportive?
Supportive.
Supportive? Probably, again, you've got parents who run, people at run club. So there's people around you who know and love running as well. Yeah. How about you?
What was the question?
Are people very supportive, or do you get a lot of doubt and worry about the running you do?
Pretty supportive, though I don't tell that many people. Like, they ask, I tell them, but I mean, apart from my family and the running community I run with, no one else really, so they're all supportive.
Yeah, well, that's good. Do you think kids get underestimated sometimes?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big yes, Alex.
Sometimes. There's a lot of bullets in parkrun and stuff who are not really to be messed with.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of really fast kids. And I feel like I'm kind of at the age where I'm not really classified by adults as a young kid that's going to...
You're moving on the other side now.
Yeah. So, obviously, I am still a kid, and there's still that satisfaction of overtaking adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think they really hold a grudge against me for it. Okay. So.
Yeah. That was a big yes from you, Alex. Do we underestimate kids?
Yeah.
Yeah? Why is that? You can do more than we think you can? Yes? He's doing big nods. Do you think there's a bit of underestimation of kids?
I don't know. No one's really said, I mean, apart from a few people like when I did Federation, no one's really said, oh, I did better than I expected. But that's probably the main motivation why I keep going. Like, I see people, I make goals in my head, and I usually overtake them in the end.
Yeah.
That's mainly for parkrun, though, and other shorter distance events. But no, I don't get underestimated massively.
And how do you keep running fun for yourself? So you're starting to do really big events, like you train with a club and a coach, like it could get very driven by these are my goals and I've got to achieve them. How do you keep it fun?
So I think the end goal is something that's like really important for me.
Yeah.
So I, like, at the moment I'm trying to get into the nationals for cross country through Oak Bank next year. So I'm kind of training towards that at the moment. And I'm just trying to keep as dedicated as I can to try and achieve that goal. Cause there are some pretty fast kids there and it takes a lot to kind of get in. So there's that sort of motivation. But then there's also like the health and fitness aspect of it, which is really, really motivating as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really rewarding to be fit and active.
Yeah. So you have that extrinsic motivation, like that achieving, and then, but you've got the intrinsic motivation as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more powerful. How about you, Alex? How do you keep running fun?
It's just fun to look at the bees.
Yeah. So it's trail running. It's being in national parks and seeing the roos and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you keep it fun?
Because
you had a period where it wasn't fun for you and you just went, gave up. Yeah.
I mean, there's the food. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Like, I figure, the way I figure, I'm a growing boy. I get to, whatever I eat, whatever bad food I eat, I can burn it off by running. So, like, I eat lots of jelly snakes and chips and all when I'm running, especially when I'm crewing too, and it's like, part of the system.
Yeah.
And also, I also kind of enjoy, if I do get underestimated, I also enjoy beating people.
Yeah.
So, a bit competitive there.
Yeah. What do you think parents and event organisers could do to get even more kids involved in running?
So, at the moment, I think TRSA has, like, a kids fun run or a 5K or something, which is kind of working because there are a lot of kids of parents who are there running in like the 1k or the 5k event, which seems to work a lot. And parkrun's kind of just open for everyone, but I feel like if a way you could get more kids involved would be probably doing more in school level. So at the moment there's only really the cross country, but or sports day sprints, and there's not really any motivation for anybody to kind of do anything there, like other than that. But I feel like clubs are a very good way to get people interested. And if you have a kid that is going to a club, then the chances are they're going to share that club with their friends, and their friends might join it if they're interested in that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a snowball effect.
And then you get that sense of community.
Sense of community as well.
And it becomes really about more than the running.
Yeah,
fantastic. Well, you kind of got a social club, but you don't have an official club, do you? Is there anything that you think people could do to motivate kids to run?
More aid stations and like runs that kids would do.
Yeah. We'll run for food, as Connor was just talking about.
Just make sure that it's a sensible amount for however long it is.
Yeah. So food breaks for kids.
Yeah.
I reckon they've I reckon they've got to advertise it a bit more. Like, before I started running, I had no idea that, that there was much more than a marathon. Like, I was doing the last section of a, I think it was Run Adelaide 100 with someone, and running the last section, and which is 128 kilometres around.
Yeah.
And a person came up to us and said, "Oh, you're doing the marathon, good job." And of course, so the general public doesn't really know that there's much more than marathons out there, so I think they need to let people know more.
Yeah.
As a kid, I didn't know that there was more than a marathon. I was like, "Oh, cool, you've done a marathon, you've done it all."
You've done it all. That's the pinnacle. So running in 2023, I think you're training for the half in the Blair Marathon event?
I might do that again.
Yeah.
Because a half's kind of been a really big thing for motivation, because I've been wanting to do a half for probably the whole time that I've been running. But due to regulations for age, I was never able to do it. And also it's probably too much. It's like too much for a growing person to handle, and it can damage you.
Yeah.
But then COVID struck when I was finally old enough to be able to do it. Had to wait another year and then finally got to do the Blair Marathon. So I'll probably do that again next year because I found that one really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I did the half I'll probably do the half again this year. And also the nationals for cross country I'm training for as well. That's kind of my main motivation right now, because I want to kind of prove to myself that I can actually be in the top like bracket of people, and I am actually like fast.
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
And there's also community drive as well. Like get to meet, well, talk to your friends and stuff, which is fun because I've got friends that I don't really know outside of running, and I would have never met them outside of running. But they're really nice people, and I love talking to them.
That's great. How about you, Alex? Next year, are you going to go in any events?
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. I think there is one trail running SA event that you can make. Oh, I can't remember which one it is. And we might look for some others.
Yeah.
Yeah? How about you?
I'm doing Heisman 50 next year, I think. You can't really call it training because I've already said I'm not good at doing that. I just go out there and hope that my strength training's enough. But I was considering doing Belair half, but I enjoy crewing at one of the aid stations too much. So I'll be probably crewing there again. Apart from Heisman 50, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So you're looking to do your first ultra in about 10 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exciting. And do you have any kind of bigger long term? Yeah. Yeah, that's Ellie. Dog clicky nails and trains. That's my podcast. Ellie, she's now banging her tail under the table. Ouch, cat. Any long-term, like, in the future, even if they feel like pipe dream goals at the moment?
Well, I'd also like to add for the question before, the TRSA events go all year round. They are amazing.
Okay. Dog's going nuts. Yeah.
they're amazing, and I always do them when I can. So they're good. Goals in the future?
Yeah.
I had the North Face planned. Well, it was kind of a big goal, very ambitious. So I don't know if I'll ever get to that, but I would really like to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So there's, that's 100Ks. So.
Is that the, what's it called now? It was called the North Face.
I think they might have changed the name.
Yeah, they've changed it. Oh, my God, it's like the biggest event in Australia. UTA, I think.
It might be UTA.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what they changed it to.
So one day in the future?
I would like to do that. That would be very fulfilling. But also going for places in races, so like trying to win something would be a goal of mine. So if I could win like a TRSA event, I would be absolutely amazed.
Yeah.
Even if it's just some random TOSA event, it's still very, it'd still be a very big accomplishment for me. So stuff like that is kind of what I'm going for.
Sounds very cool. How about you, Alex? Is there something you want to do one day when you're bigger and older?
100 miles.
100 miler? One day?
Like you are.
When you're an adult? I don't know. I haven't done it yet. I'm going to try. I will try. Do my best.
I think we'll get over 100.
Okay. Well, thank you for your faith in me. Have you got a long-term one-day goal?
My long-term goal is I'm building up over distances, and overall I want to reach the Delirious West 200 miler at one point.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Because I've created one of those, and I said that's what inspired me to running, so that seemed like a good endpoint. Well, not endpoint, that'll probably be the pinnacle of my achievements. I'll just drop down to...
Big goal.
Yeah, it is a big goal.
And drop down to some shorter distances.
Yeah. So 200 miler one day.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
That's 320?
Yes, correct. Well done. Well done. Well, they all sound fabulous. Thanks so much, all of you, for coming in today and giving a kid's perspective and hearing your voices.
Yeah.
It's been really wonderful.
I'm sure this will be the most listened to podcast. We're just that
absolutely
charismatic.
Kids, don't get ahead of yourself, make Connor. It more listened to.
We'll put the word brownies in the title. There we go. That'll pull people in.
I'll listen to it.
That's all right.
Brownies. Ooh, I have to listen to it.
Yeah, well, good luck to with all your goals. Like, you've got some pretty big things set up, and yours is your real, like, kind of, you got this next year. When? What month? I don't think we said. When are you going to be trying out for the national team?
I'm not quite sure what month it is exactly. I think it's in the first half of the year, though.
Okay, so it's not that far away.
Not that far away. So got to kind of get a move on.
And yeah, train, says Alex.
Try not to injure myself as well, so I'll be very, very careful.
Surely you're not going to get COVID in the lead up, having had it twice. Like, you're good now.
I don't think anybody in the world's had it three times, actually, so I should be okay.
Should be okay. Oh, yeah. So yeah, good luck with all your goals. Thanks for coming in, and thank you. Cheers.
Bye.
That was the final episode of Tales from the Midpack for 2022. If you have some ideas of what you would like me to cover or who you'd like me to talk to for 2023, feel free to hit me up on Facebook. I'll put the link in the description. And if you're keen to get your running on track in 2023 and you're looking for a coach to help you out with that, you can also hit me up at Stepping Stone Coaching. Thanks for all the support in 2022. It's been really lovely at events, having people coming up and talking to me about the podcast. I've really appreciated it. So I'll see you next year. Happy trails, everyone.